If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We of Worth Baptist Church give to you and your family a special and cordial invitation to worship God with us today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. Here at Worth Baptist, we have a class for every member of your family, for every age and grade level. Our textbook in the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. This evening in the Sunday evening worship service, I have a very important and timely message. My message for this evening is entitled, Where is the Church of the 20th Century Going? I have before me a copy of the Dallas Morning News for December 6, 1971. On the very first page, the front page, is a picture of the chaplain of the Southern Methodist University and one of the co-eds. The co-ed is dressed in hot pants. Throughout the aisles of the Perkins Chapel of Southern Methodist University, students are dancing in what they call a worship service. I believe this is an insult to the moral and religious integrity of Methodists all over Texas and all over the Southland. I believe that Methodists ought to voice their opposition to that which is going on at Southern Methodist University. And you good Methodists who are listening today, the money that you're investing in Methodism is supporting such as appeared on your news television screen the other night and in the newspapers that happened last Sunday, December 5th. The chaplain of the Perkins School of Theology, the Southern Methodist University, dancing with the students following an Advent service in their chapel on campus. I believe the time has come when we who believe the Word of God and who are old-fashioned enough to believe that the Bible is still the Word of God and that worship should be orderly and reverent should take our stand against such as appeared on the campus of SMU last Sunday. So this will be included in my message tonight. Where is the Church of the 20th Century going? We give a special invitation, not just to the Methodists, but to all people, to come and hear this message tonight. I believe it is timely and most important. And again, I believe that we need to speak out against the evils in so-called religion today. Where is the Church of the 20th century going? We invite you to hear this message this evening at 7 o'clock at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And now for my message on today's broadcast, entitled, What is Your Life? I read from the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 14. But before I read this verse, I want you to pause with me in just a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the opportunity to broadcast the gospel. We thank Thee that there are people left in the world today who love the Bible and who believe that worship is a thing of reverence, is holy, and is to be so treated. And we pray today that people listening all over radio land would indeed have something turned over in their hearts as they view the religious system and the condition of the religious world about us today. May we come back to that old-fashioned way of worshiping and of honoring Christ through reverence in the house of God. Bless this message as it goes forth, and may those who hear it be drawn closer to Thee. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James writes, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What is your life? Someone has observed that life expectancy is increasing. Nowadays, you can expect most anything, and how true it is. The question that James asks in the text is direct and to the point. This question could be embarrassing to you if your life is not what it should be today. It could be insulting to you if you think it's nobody's business what your life is like. On the other hand, it could be enlightening to you if you really have a desire to take inventory of your life to see how you stand before God. What is your life? Does this question embarrass you? Does it insult you? Does it enlighten you? Does it bother you or disturb you? Does this question, what is your life, provoke you to anger? Does it turn you on or does it turn you off? Whatever it does to you this moment, the time has come in your life when you must face the issue. What is your life? Life is a race. In the words of the Apostle Paul, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Life is a journey. For this journey of life, my friend, you need iron shoes. There are many hills to climb. There are valleys to go through. There are rough places to cover. Life is a battle. Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Yes, we are in a battle today in life. Life is also a book. You and I should write each chapter of the book of life as though it might be the last. Life is a poem. You should make each stanza rhyme. Life is a grindstone. Whether life grinds you down or polishes you up depends on the stuff that you're made of. We do well to take the advice of him who said, "Life is fragile. Please handle with prayer." I want you to consider with me, first of all, the source of life. Man in the 20th century can make many boasts. He can brag about a lot of things. We've conquered almost every known disease. We've gone to the moon and back. But here's one thing man cannot boast about. Man cannot create life. The source of all life is God. Paul said, "In him we live and move and have our being." My friend, God gives you life. It's up to you what you do with it. And I want you to remember this. The way you live determines the way you will die. As the old proverbial saying has it, "As the tree falls, so it lies." Men who live like sinners don't die like saints. God has given you life. What are you doing with it? What is your life? In the second place, I want you to think about the purpose of your life. There are those in the world today who think the only purpose in life is to satisfy the physical appetites of the body. But I remind you that life is not measured by how full your stomach is or by how well-dressed your body is. Jesus put it like this, "Life is more than meat, and the body more than clothes." There are those who think that the only purpose in life is to accumulate wealth. The rich man in the New Testament thought this, and God called him a fool. He said, "I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger barns. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But in that night, that very night, God said, "Thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee. Then who shall these things be?" I ask you today, what is your life? What is the purpose of it? The true purpose of life is this, to prepare for the life to come. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart? If your treasure today is in the things of the world, there your heart will be. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be. Your treasure today should be in spiritual things, in the cause of Christ. For after all, this life is only a preparation room. It's a time of getting ready, getting prepared for the life to come, getting prepared for eternity. My, how important it is for you today to prepare your life for the life to come. More important than your making a living is your making a life. Solomon said the whole duty of man is to know God and keep His commandments. Someone once asked George Beverly Shea, "How much do you know about God?" His answer was this, "Not much, but what I do know has changed my life." The fulfillment of the purpose in life for you does not depend on whether or not you win, but it depends on how you play the game. Abraham Lincoln once said, and I quote, "I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to the light I have received." Abraham Lincoln recognized, as you and I must, where little is known, little is required, but where much is known, much is required. Mark Twain once said, "We should so live that when we come to die, even the undertaker would be sorry." What is your life? Are you fulfilling the promise, the God-ordained, the God-given promise for your life? If you do fulfill that purpose in life, you will be happy not only in time, but for all eternity. There are three anchors needed, I believe, if you are to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life. Number one, I believe God. Number two, I belong to God. And number three, I serve God. You see, with anchor number one, I believe God, you are safe on the sea of skepticism. With anchor number two, I belong to God, you are safe on the sea of uncertainty. With anchor number three, I serve God, you are safe on the sea of temptation. You need these anchors today in your life to fulfill the purpose for which God has given you to live. Do you have these anchors? Do you believe God? Do you belong to God? Do you serve Him? Then I want you to consider with me the levels of life. Again, I believe there are three levels of life. One, the normal. Two, the below normal. And three, the above normal. The man who lives below the normal level of life is beneath the standard that God has set out for him. Are you below normal in living the life that God has given you to live? The man who is on the normal level of life is Mr. Average, we might say. The man who says, "Well, I'll get by on as little as I can in life. I'll do just as little as I can in the days of my existence." That's the normal. But then there comes the above normal, the happy life, the abundant life, the fruit-bearing, productive, overcoming, victorious, triumphant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are living on one of those three levels. Are you below normal? Just normal? What about becoming above normal? You can, by a full and absolute dedication and commitment and surrender of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know the true meaning of the words of the Savior, who said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That abundant life can be yours in the Lord Jesus Christ this moment by a simple faith in Him. Someone has observed that in the 20th century, we are so subnormal, if we ever get back to normal, people will think we're abnormal. My, what a commentary on the average person, the average Christian, the average citizen today. So subnormal that if we ever get back to normal, people will think we are abnormal. What do people think about you? More importantly, what does God think about you? In God's sight, what is your life? I come now to my fourth area of thinking, the philosophy of life. The story of the Good Samaritan in the New Testament sets forth three philosophies of life. Number one is this: what's yours is mine, and I'm going to get it if I can. This is the philosophy set forth by the robber who took that poor fellow out and beat him and robbed him of all of his goods. A lot of people live by that philosophy today. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to get it if I can. Philosophy number two is this: what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Both the priest and the Levite who passed this man by on the other side lived by that philosophy. I have this, and I'm going to keep it. Whatever I've earned, whatever I've accumulated, whatever is mine, and I'm going to keep it. That's a selfish philosophy of life. That's not like Christ. That's not like the Bible. That's not like a Christian. That's not like God. If Christianity is anything, it is unselfishness. It is built upon that principle. Christ emptied himself for you and me. Philosophy number three is this: what is mine is yours if you need it. My, what a grand philosophy to live by today. In a world of materialism, in a world of selfishness, in a world of covetousness, in a world of sin. What a tremendous philosophy. What is mine is yours if you need it. I ask you today, what philosophy do you live by? Are you selfish, or are you outgoing, unselfish, giving to others? Do you consider what you have yours and yours alone? Remember this: everything that you have, someone else made it possible for you to get. James said, every good and perfect gift cometh down from God. The air you breathe is a gift of God. The clothes you wear, the earth you walk on, the water you drink, the food you eat, the car you drive, the bed you sleep in, the radio you're listening to, all of these things come to you by way of someone else. Why not then adopt the right philosophy in life? And that is this: what is mine is yours if you need it. The philosophy you live by will determine what comes to you in life. For life is like a mirror. It never gives you back more than you put into it. The mirror that you look in today doesn't make you any taller or shorter, fatter or thinner, prettier or uglier. It just returns the image of the reflection that you put into it. And that's the way it is in life. You'll never get more out of life than you put into it. How much are you putting into life today? On this Lord's Day, this Sunday, what will your life be? Another day of ease? Another day of pleasure? Are you including Christ in your plans today? Have you included the church, the Sunday school, the Bible, the people of God, the church of the living God in your plans for today? Remember, the philosophy that you live by will be the philosophy you die by and will determine what happens to you in your life. Life is an echo. Jesus put it this way: with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. Solomon of old put it this way: cast your bread upon the water, and after many days ye shall find it. In other words, the good you do will come back to you. The evil you do will come back to you. Whatever you bargain for in life is what you're going to get. The poet put it this way: I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that whatever wage I'd ask of life, life would have paid. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you've set the wage, why, you must bear the task. So live, someone said, that when they check your footprints in the sands of time, they won't find only the marks of a heel. I have three recommendations for your life today. Number one, I recommend the best book I know, the Bible. Number two, I recommend the best friend I know, Jesus Christ. And number three, I recommend the best insurance policy I know, and that's salvation. It has paid up premiums. It's offered to all, regardless of health, of age, of job status, of name, of nationality, of color, of creed, or condition. Salvation through Jesus Christ is offered to you this moment. If you'll but trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior, you can face the question, what is your life? And you can answer it to God's satisfaction and to yours with Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Again, before the broadcast leaves the air, I invite you to come this evening, the 7 o'clock worship hour, to hear the message, Where is the Church of the 20th Century Going? We'll be dealing with such things as you saw in the paper and on television that happened on the campus of Southern Methodist University last Sunday, a dancing worship service. Can true Bible-believing Methodists support this? We invite you to come tonight and hear the message, Where is the Church of the 20th Century Going? In the meantime, our Sunday school in just a little while, 10 o'clock, and our Sunday morning worship hour at 11. We give to you and to your family a cordial invitation to attend the services of Worth Baptist Church today. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.